Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome, and welcome to the show. My name is Linda Mooney. This is Other Worlds of Romance on Blog Talk Radio. And tonight I have, as my guest author, I have Artemis Withers. Hi, Artemis. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing very good. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on the show tonight. Tonight, Artemis is going to be reading from the Adventures of Reztap. And sci-fi, space opera
humor
along the lines, huh?
It's sci-fi humor.
Sci-fi humor. You like it along the lines of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy or things like that? You're going to be in for a treat tonight. For those of you who don't know, Artemis was inspired by authors such as Douglas Adams and Harry Harrison and Terry Pratchett, and he endeavored to create a world of science fiction and humor to delight readers across the world. A lifelong computer systems professional, Artemis went from the military to government contracting to the commercial world, fixing various computer problems and helping workers and companies get to where they need to go. He's also dabbled in acting as an improv troupe member for several years, and he performed in various stage, television, and film productions. He lives in Texas with his wife, where they rule their family kingdom of three adult daughters from afar and enjoy the company of their grandson and two dogs. Now, if you'd like to talk to Artemis after he gets through reading his excerpt, you're more than welcome to call in. The number is 646-727-2932, or you can email your questions to me, linda@lindamooney.com. And I have the chat room open, so you're welcome to come into the chat room and listen there. And if you want to type in a question, I'd be more than happy to relay it to Artemis. So, hello, fellow Texan. And it's
hello.
What got you into wanting to, I mean, what attracted you to the humorous sci-fi side?
Well, Hitchhiker's Guide, of course, was my first introduction to humorous sci-fi. So mm-hmm. that was way back when, like 30 years ago, or a little bit more, I think.
We're dating ourselves here.
Yeah, we sure are. But I mean, you know, I love that story, and I love entertaining people, and from, you know, my improv background and just you know, speaking engagements I've been on, one of the greatest things I love to do is make people laugh, and I think that's probably my contribution to society is a few laughs here and there.
It looks like this is going to be the first of a series of books, right?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I just finished up my re-editing of the second book in the series, actually. So that is off to the editor, and that will be coming out this summer.
And what is the name of the second book?
The second book is Reztap and the Quest for the Insane Moth, which sounds very strange, but if you read the first book, The Insane Moth, if you read the first book, you'll understand why that makes sense.
Okay. All righty. Well, Artemis, I'm just going to turn the floor over to you so you can go ahead and read us your, first of all, read us your blurb, and also we know what the book's about, and then kind of give us an idea of where you're starting your excerpt from. Is it the beginning of the book or in the middle, or kind of give us an idea of what leads up to where your excerpt is. So take it away.
You betcha. All right. What I will do is I'm gonna actually read probably the sauciest part of the book, which isn't really that saucy because this isn't really that kind of a book. But it has a little fun back and forth between two of the characters. This really starts out where Princess Slurk is chained up to, or tied up to a wall, and the hero Tar Reztap is just waking up from being knocked out by his android navigator, they're actually in zero gravity, and this is where it starts. He's unconscious.
Okay,
and she's just hanging on the wall.
Okay, but what? Give us the blurb so we know what the book's about.
Oh, the blurb. I'm sorry. Yes. The blurb. And of course, I didn't have that ready. Standby.
I have it here. You want me to read it for you?
Sure. Go right ahead. That'd be great.
Okay. Good. This is just hilarious. Just reading this blurb. Even simple plans never quite work out for intergalactic trader Tar Reztap, and yet he and his loyal friend Gorth keep finding their way into crazy missions that border the impossible. Chased through known space aboard the bloated Namreg, quite possibly the ugliest ship to ever dock in a spaceport, it's not long before Reztap's nemesis catches up. And it's not the captain of the Pragorian warship, really, it was an honest mix-up that started that war, nor the madam of the Courtesan Academy, who happens to be half-sister to the head of the Assassin's Guild. No, real trouble requires blood ties. Reztap's brother sends the traitor spinning back into space on a mission to rescue a princess from a fortress on Alaga One's moon. Desperate times call for desperate measures, and Reztap and Gorth are forced to pull out their backup navigator, an eccentric android named Chuck, who has a thing for decorating, and Rezzy, aboard the Namreg, a door that couldn't be opened for 13 years mysteriously grants entrance to a hidden chamber. Inside is a treasure, a long-lost family member, and a mission no one has before Reztap to do. This time, he can't fail. Regretfully, the rescued Princess Slurk is still on board with plans of her own. That is just, oh man, I read that, first time I read that, and I'm thinking Spaceballs.
Yeah, a little bit. You betcha. It definitely plays around with the science fiction, you know, fantasy, well, science fiction world, and definitely a nod to Star Wars for at least getting it kicked off.
So, all right, so I'm anxious to hear this excerpt, so take it away.
Okay, here's the excerpt. Princess on a wall, Tar unconscious, hanging upside down in zero gravity. All right, Princess hummed war songs to herself. She finished anthems and marches and was plowing through her repertoire of funeral dirges when Tar awoke. He immediately realized he had a problem. He couldn't touch the floor or the ceiling, and there wasn't any furniture within reach. Princess noticed that he was looking around and grinned. Missing something, Prince Charming? Like a rampaging android, perhaps? Keep an eye on her, Chuck. Sound familiar? Look, lady, Tar said. Princess. My name is Princess. And mine is Tar, big whoop-de-doo. I didn't stick my android on you. I had no idea he was going to lose his marbles. At least, not more than he already had. Tar turned his head to see her, but only caught a bit of her foot out of the corner of his eye. You put a psycho android in charge of me? Princess lost her smile. He wasn't dangerous yet, but that's beside the point. I need your assistance, and if I'm not mistaken, you need mine as well. I can't reach anything, so I can't get down from where I am. Can you reach anything, like something you could throw to me? Nope. Your android was pretty thorough. Did you program him for this kinky little maneuver? No. Tar ran his fingers through his hair. Gorth's brother did. Got any ideas? Yeah, Princess replied. Why don't you take off your shirt and throw one into my hand so you can pull yourself to me? It's not a shirt. It's a jumpsuit. So take the whole thing off and throw one into me. There's a small problem with your suggestion. Can you think of something else? Princess got a big grin on her face. You're not wearing any skivvies, she laughed. This might be worth it after all. Poetic justice. This is humiliating, Tar said as he removed his jumpsuit. I'm sorry, from my utter and complete embarrassment and not from the environment systems being damaged as well as the artificial gravity. That could be deadly. Tar, I must admit, I've never seen you looking better. Ha, ha, ha. Quite the little comedian today, huh? Tar swung the jumpsuit behind him, holding onto the legs of the jumpsuit. It hit Princess's knee. If you want me to catch it, I suggest you aim for my hands and not my feet. Tar grunted and swung the jumpsuit again behind him again, aiming higher. It caught the top of Princess's negligee and revealed a portion of her anatomy that she'd been trying desperately to keep hidden. Not quite on the mark, sport, try a little higher and to the left. Tar took another swing. My left, that is. Tar finally found his target. Princess caught the jumpsuit, and Tar pulled himself to her. Both of them got quite an eyeful. We've got to stop meeting like this, Tar said as he untied her right arm. My sentiments exactly, she replied through gritted teeth. He put on his jumpsuit, taking care to stay within arm's reach of the wall. She finished untying her bonds. That's where I, that's Gorth, by the way, picked up from the recording and appeared in person at the door. I stared in disbelief at Princess, dressed in the negligee, and Tar, attaching the collar to his jumpsuit. Chuck's tearing the ship apart, and you two are playing hanky-panky? Tar and Princess looked at each other and then looked back at me and asked in unison, hanky-panky? It's an obscure Terran term. It means, oh, never mind. Let's just get to the bridge and stop Chuck from doing any more damage. Anyway, that's where I stopped there.
Yeah. If you want to, go ahead and read a little bit more. This is interesting.
Okay.
This is very different. Go ahead.
I sure can read a little bit more. I'll read just a little bit more. Okay, but we'd better stop by the armory first, Tar said, pushing off from the wall towards the door. You have an armory on board? Princess asked. Not exactly, I said. What we have is a small storage compartment that holds two or three laser rifles. That's as close to an armory as we'll ever get. We disappeared down the hall while Princess rummaged through the closet in the room looking for something decent to wear. Two or three laser rifles. It took us nearly 15 minutes before we arrived at the corridor near the bridge. Tar volunteered to go first. He didn't want to miss the opportunity to shoot Chuck. I waited as Tar pushed off the bridge entrance. A few seconds later, I followed him. Tar glided down the corridor, turning his body so he could push off the wall directly into the bridge. I stopped just before the bridge entrance. Neither of us knew what danger Chuck represented at this point. Tar reached his push-off point, shot his legs out, and almost made it through the door without hitting the side. Unfortunately, the impact caused him to spin wildly as he sailed into the bridge. The laser rifle slipped out of his hands as he collided with what was left of Chuck. At this point, he stopped going anywhere, literally stuck on Chuck. The melted artificial skin covering Chuck's body had the consistency of flypaper and stickiness and smelt of burnt banana peels. Tar's back adhered to Chuck's back. However, Chuck remained standing while Tar now looked at the world sideways. I shouldn't have gotten out of bed this morning, I heard Tar say. I stuck my head in, saw Tar, and ducked back out. My laughter echoed throughout the corridors of the ship. Princess showed up a few minutes later, dressed in a black jumpsuit, similar to the one Chuck wore, just as I peeled Tar off of Chuck. Smoke still permeated the air from the remains of Chuck's jumpsuit, the cause for at least part of the smell. The various android body fluids floating out of the smoldering android caused the rest of the odor. Princess wrinkled her nose. Chuck, or what's left of him anyway, I said. Tar pushed off from me, angling for the command console. He reached the console and tapped it a few times. Get ready, Tar said. Princess and I braced for whatever was coming. Tar tapped the enter button. Nothing happened. Well, living wonder, what are we waiting for? Princess asked. Tar scowled at her. You know, I liked you better in a negligee. And I liked you better when you were unconscious. You two must not have hanky-panky, she said. Realization hit them both, and they frowned at me. Do you want me to continue further?
This is hilarious. This is wonderful. And I've got to mention, the book is already out, and it's by Chart House Press and all. Uh-huh. And we have a question here from an Ella B. She says, love your cover. And I went back and I looked. Yeah, that's very unique. It's very different. And I've got to give kudos to whoever did your cover, because it's hilarious. You can tell by looking at it that it's a comedy. You know, that it's meant all tongue in cheek and all. But that's very unique and different. And all. I like that too.
The cover artist is a young lady named Jerrica Law, who's actually here in Houston as well. But I found her on DeviantArt, where you could find somebody in, you know, anywhere across the United States, you know, or even in the world. And I picked her out just because she had just the look, and she wound up being in Houston. So
now, you know, I'm just right down the road from you.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm in Victoria.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
And all we have another question here from Cynthia. Uh-huh. Do any of your characters have superpowers? Does Chuck have any? Is he super strong?
No.
When he's
not
melted?
Gorth, who this is told from the point of view, he's a regular human. But he's mm-hmm. a pretty strong. He would be like your buff, human. Almost like The Rock, but not quite that buff. But I mean, he's very strong and very in shape. Tar's kind of a little squirrely. He's actually half human and half Androsian.
What?
His mother is from the planet Andros and his father's human. So he's half breed, as it were. But
what's an Androsian?
An Androsian is essentially humanoid. So it's not. So he's not strange. He's not different looking than a regular human, but he just has a different background. It's like that if the human seed were spread out through the galaxy, you'd have different planets that had humans on it, and then different things going on.
So no superpowers
for those guys.
Yeah. Would you say that this is futuristic then? Like if somebody wanted to say, can you put a time on it? Would you say it was kind of like futuristic? Humorous?
Oh, it's definitely futuristic. It's like Earth is like, its own, peaceful thing now, and Earthlings have gone out into space, and in fact, Gorth's mother and father have been, they work with Earth and geology and that kind of thing. A xenogeologist, that's what I'm going to say. That generation's been out in space for a while. So, I mean, it's a couple hundred years in the future, definitely.
And, okay, so this is, it's kind of like I said, futuristic. How would you say when it comes to coming up with the ideas of the planets and humanoid and all, would you say that we're how am I gonna put this? I'm sitting here trying to do two or three things at once.
It's okay, it's all good.
I'm saying is that given that, we're going into space, you're looking at going into space and all, and it is futuristic. Would you also say that these people have that Tar, that he's, he's like an adventurer, or would you say that he's like a space merchant, or just, you called him an intergalactic trader, but what does he act, does he go like from planet to planet?
Technically,
a long hauler, like an 18-wheeler.
Exactly. That really is technically what he is. But you run through. I mean, Han Solo was technically a traitor, but he had some illegal goods, so it made him a smuggler. But was what he did. He moved certain goods from one location to another, and made a profit on them. And that's the same. Kind of thing that a Tar would do. You don't see him doing any of that in the books because he keeps on getting sent on these crazy missions by his brother, who's actually a captain in the Galactic Fleet. So he's really sending him on thankless missions that nobody really wants to do, or things that need to not have official Galactic Fleet involvement. And so,
how's he going to earn credits to buy stuff?
Exactly. Exactly. So it does put him in a bit of a bind. I wrote a set of short stories in Mishaps and Mayhem, which is a primer to the Adventures of ResTap, and that's a little book that's also available for a purchase. If you go in there, you'll find he actually wound up getting in the first adventure, he winds up getting a little bit of some credits from what happened there. And then, of course, in the last story, you see he loses a lot of them. So there are different ways that he gets stuff. And his brother, gives him a little bit of credits for the adventure, but nothing to cover. It really winds up being a loss to him financially. So he never gets a profit off the credit of the missions that his brother sends him on.
Oh, okay. I can just see him now. Well, you want me to go? It's going to cost you this much, or something like that. You know, I've got a. You named a lot of people when they name their spaceship. If they're writing sci-fi, and like I write sci-fi, you try to come up with something a little majestic or powerful sounding for your spaceship. And you've got the bloated Namreg, which you call possibly the ugliest ship. Do you describe the ship, or do you just kind of leave it to the imagination?
I think I do describe the ship. It looks essentially like a blob of mashed potatoes suspended in zero gravity. Which is hilarious. I actually met somebody who was a scientist at NASA who said, that's hilarious. I know exactly what that looks like. I didn't know. But it just made him laugh because he'd actually seen a blob of mashed potatoes suspended in zero gravity. It looks ridiculous.
Would imagine it kind of continually changes shape or something.
It actually will throughout the course of the series, mainly because the bloated Namreg is actually a code name for the ship. But, of course, Tar didn't know that, and there are other reasons why he didn't know that. So he was actually gifted with this ship, and it had that name, and all. But other secrets were lost because of certain events that happened. So that's what he stuck with, and that's what he names it, and that's what it's registered as, and so on and so forth. How I came up with that name, I just thought, okay, let's make a silly name, first off. And second, Namreg is actually just German backwards. And you'll find a lot of little words like that in there that are just, it's just twisted, a regular word twisted around backwards. And maybe I massaged a letter or two to make it sound correct. That's really what it came from. Now,
but
there's other ones in there that are normal, but...
It's Patzer.
Yeah, it sure is.
Princess Slurk, S-L-U-R-K. All right, explain
now that. Now, that's just silly. That one's just silly. If you just think, oh, princess, and then you hear the word slurk, and you're like, well, that can't be good.
Oh, gosh.
It doesn't sound attractive at all.
Have you considered putting these out in audio? Because these would be hilarious to listen to on a road.
My publisher. I mean, I know they've had a few books that have actually gone audio on audiobook, and I have not ventured forth to do that yet. But I've actually had several people request that, so it's definitely on the. I would say yes, it's going to happen.
To-do list.
I'm not sure I can win. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! This, like I said, this would be hilarious, and the way you read it just cracked me up. You need to be the narrator for this thing, especially since you do the character voices.
You betcha.
not many authors do, and all. Let's kind of give an idea where we people can find you. First of all, your website is. Go ahead.
www.artemiswithers.com, and that's artemiswithers.com.
And where else can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter, at Artemis Withers, and you can find me on Facebook. I think it's artemis.withers on there where you have to. But if you just go look for Artemis Withers, you'll find me. There's also a webpage up on Facebook for the Adventures of Res Tap as well. I'm also on a blogger, which I think is, if you look for, if you go to my website, you'll be able to actually see, there's links, there's not just links to the social media, but there's links to the blog post as well. And I'm trying to think, I'm on a bunch of other different locations. I'm on Goodreads as well.
Has anybody ever told you that you look like John Goodman?
No. That's an interesting thing, though, yeah. I kind of, I look a little bit different in just normal life, and for that, for my author picture, I wanted to kind of create just of a, you know, a, almost a Men in Black kind of thing, you know, that kind of a vibe.
Yeah.
My best friend dropped a note on the post when I put the picture up there, and he said, Oh, I see the CIA ran low on funds for ties.
This is great. That's great. Now, okay, so you've got book two coming out in June. And you mentioned, tell me about those short stories that you were talking about, which is kind of like a prequel to The Adventures of Russ Hat.
The prequel, okay. In the first chapter of The Adventures of Russ Hat, they talk about these, you know, horrible things that happened in the past. Oh, I remember that? Yeah, that was horrible. Oh, remember that other thing? Yeah, that was horrible. Well, the prequel is all those horrible things that happened. kind of a little running joke in the book is the fact that these guys can't hold on to navigators. So it's like the navigators are the guys with red shirts. If that's a little Star Trek.
Targets painted on them.
Yeah, exactly. And so the first short story basically... Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, for those of you who are listening and don't understand the joke, it's an old Star Trek joke from the original series that aired in the 60s, and that is if you were wearing a red shirt, pretty much you were going to die the first 5 minutes of the show or somewhere during the show.
Exactly.
That's what
yeah.
the security people are. Yes, so that's what we were talking about, the wearing red shirts.
The disposable crew members.
Yes.
But anyway, so the first story is really the first story is really where they lose one of their navigators in a particularly horrible way. He doesn't actually die at the end, but he's no longer going to be a navigator of them. So, but what's really funny is during that thing they actually talk about. They don't talk about that. They actually talk about other things. So they go through it. So there's a little adventure story. That's actually the Progorian and Clash A War that's referenced in the blurb right there. That is the intergalactic mm-hmm. war that started because of a misunderstanding. So that's actually how that war starts. So that's actually right in there.
Mm-hmm.
The second story is actually about when Tar and Gorth first met on a mining colony.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of people think that story's cute because they're only 9 years old. So they're all doing, you know, things that are not, you know, there's no adult connotation really at all to that story. It's all
mm-hmm.
just very young and cute. And then the third story is actually where they lose yet another navigator. And in that one, in order to get to this navigator, just to get to the navigator, they really don't even get him on board as a navigator. They lose him before he even comes on board. They are forced to go to their agent who goes and looks for navigators for them. And
mm-hmm.
They've been banned. They've been banned from getting certified navigators by the Navigators Guild because they've lost
mm-hmm.
so many. You know, and they referenced one that they lost at a recycling plant. You know, well, we didn't realize that, you know, it would actually recycle her. She touched an atomizer, and it recycled her.
Oh, yeah.
This is hilarious. So it's just, you know, goes one another. And so they basically said, you need to get an automated system. You can't have any live navigators anymore. So they're on their last leg, and this guy's found a guy who's a navigator. He went to navigator school. He's not certified, but he was at the top of his class. And so, you know, they go and retrieve him. And through the story, you realize that, you know, everything was not quite as the agent presented it. And they paid quite a lot of money to bail this guy out and then realize that he's not even close to qualified.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
anyway.
as they're returning to turn him back into the bail place, he gets attacked and hurt.
Oh.
So he manages to survive, but it's a sad story. But it's a cute... I had a lady this weekend reading that at the AggieCon I was at, and she just started laughing. Because it's just hilarious what they're forced to do to try to get a navigator.
Oh, man. Well, the book is called The Adventures of Res Tap by Artemis Withers, and it's available now You can find it at Amazon. You can find it at Barnes & Noble. You can find it at iTunes and CreateSpace. So go check it out and have a great time. This would be like perfect, you know, something to take on a trip and just read and enjoy and beach read and all. It's fun. If you need a good belly laugh and just lots of little in-jokes, this is the book for you. My name is Linda Moody. This is Other Worlds of Romance on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for coming in tonight. Just hold on a second, Artemis, and I'll be with you in just a second.
Okay.
For the rest of you, we'll see you again next week. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for the questions. And we'll see you again. Good night, all. And we're done.
All right.
That was wonderful. Did great.
Okay, good. Well, thank you very much.
I'm worried there.
Okay. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. You made it. That's what counts. In about 30 minutes or so, I don't know if you want to do this tonight or if you want to wait until tomorrow, your show will pop back up on Blog Talk Radio. And what you can do is go to BTR and click on the link that has your show. Or you can, and what will happen is that it'll take you to a separate URL where just this show airs.
Okay.
And you can take that URL and you can copy and paste it onto your blog and you can tweet it and you can put it on your Facebook and whatever so that people who missed tonight's show can click that link and it'll take them straight to the website and they can listen in like it's live.
All right. That sounds awesome.
Thanks
so much for that.
Well, you're very, very welcome, and this has been hilarious. This has been hilarious. When your next book comes out, give me a call. I mean,
I will.
Come back on the show and let me know about what's going on between Tar and the princess.
Yes, I will. I will let you know. Okay?
Take care of yourself, all right? We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay,
thanks for
thank
coming.
You, Linda. Have a great night. You betcha. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Thanks again.
Uh-huh.